Good morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 14th, 276th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Good morning.
Good morning.
We got all kinds of stuff to talk about, some that Virginia knows of, some that I've been hiding. And I will be hiding.
What a surprise that is.
Yes, exactly. Our quote this morning comes from Saul Bellow. Quote, I'm simply a human being, more or less. It works,
well, that's
huh?
an interesting... that's an interesting way to start the morning.
Yeah,
I'll have to think about...
Yeah, you can take that one with you all week long. It's okay.
In many circumstances.
Yeah. I got a question for you before we get into the challenges of homeless and housing and all that kind of stuff. It's I know that's where your primary topic is. But I had somebody in the legal system last week tell me that with all the permits and all the emphasis that Humboldt County is putting into effect, that our adjacent counties are more expensive than Humboldt County.
Wait, what, will you say that again?
The permits for the marijuana growers in right. Humboldt County that you guys have been pushing for a while, that our surrounding counties are higher than Humboldt's.
You mean they're permit
more expensive?
They're further.
Yeah. Do you know anything about that?
You know, I actually don't. Permit costs are supposed to be based on fee recovery. Now, I have serious questions on whether we're recovering our fees, and I think we're not going to know that for a period of time. And it would be very frustrating to find out that we are perhaps not. Now, how other counties are basing it, I don't know. So where did you hear this from?
Oh, it was just, yeah, and it's only been through one, so it's not been confirmed. I wouldn't know where to go even to find out. But the concern was if our adjacents, particularly, you know, if Trinity and Mendocino County, if they're less expensive than we are, where are people going to come to locate? In fact, this could be compounding a situation.
You mean if they're more expensive than we are?
Yeah, they're going to go to...
I heard what you said. They'll come here if it's less expensive.
Yeah. And I don't know, you know, the cost of land, I don't know, you know, where that's going either, because that's obviously a compounding factor in this equation. But I had thought, you know, with everybody putting so much emphasis on the image of Humboldt County, that we ought to have a premium rather than a discount. And however, you know, I'm sure that when you start talking about fish and game and the enforcement and then the protection and the escorts and all that stuff, they're going to need to go out and make sure people are legal. You could pack in 10 times what you have now and still be coming in short.
Well, what I will do is it's easy to call. Thank goodness we are close to our neighboring counties. We talk with their Board of Supervisors on a lot of different issues because we do have a lot of things we're, you know, in this together on. And so you've given me something to give them a call this week and say, so how did you come up with your permit costs? And, you know, there's a lot of questions. I get frustrated. I know this is a big part of the economy, but I don't want to see us putting so much emphasis and not paying attention to some of the other things that are really big in economic development.
Too late.
Well, I'm starting to be kind of cranky about it, I guess. You know, I understand. At the same time, I am getting these frustrations that we're not focusing on some of the stuff we need to.
Like the time. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, some of the different challenges with the housing, homeless, that whole arena. I think one of the questions a lot of folks have got is the container camp, whatever it's called. I know there's a cutesy-wootsy name for it now, and I got container camp in my head. That was temporary. That was 6 months. That comes due in 6 weeks. What happens then?
In that case, my understanding from conversations last week is there looks like there is another location where the facility will be moved to. You know, you're absolutely right. They were down to 2 months. There was talk of people, you know, basically getting eviction notices, and that certainly would make the you know, any progress start taking some backward steps. So, you know, this one looks like for the next 6 months there's another answer, but what happens after that? Because it's not just a place to put the village, the concept.
Put them on wheels then, huh? And just drag them around town?
You know, I don't know. I don't think that's quite it, but I think if we keep making it temporary, where is the next temporary location? Or how long is this next one? And then there's dollars that go towards that are needed for the operation. You know, the county is certainly going to be there providing the services as we're doing now and helping Betty with the resources and, you know, providing folks to get people to where they need to be so that they can move beyond the containers and into housing and start becoming more active in the community. But we can't do it all. I know people say that counties should do it because they've got the money. It's like the money we have is really specific
who
for
says
what
that?
We can do. Oh, a variety of people frequently.
Oh,
and
really?
It's like
they think that's our job, government's job, is to give people housing?
Well, I think they think government's job, some people get really confused on the monies that they see that are coming in, that it can be used for a variety of things, when actually a lot of the dollars that do come have very specific purposes. And some of it is to help.
Well, if they weren't
people.
Earmarked, it'd be probably going to roads, wouldn't they?
Well, general fund, yeah, if you're not, well.
Bottom line, it's going to go to serve everybody instead of a narrow niche.
So that's, you know, the important thing is having the county, the city, and a lot of community groups working together to at least, you know, come up with some solutions from different angles and pull together the resources we do have. But we know there's not enough homes. We know there's not enough housing units for everyone, you know, whether it's homeless, low income, or moderate income. We have a real problem. We're going to keep having a worse problem because people are moving away from here because they can't find a place to live. You know, whether we're talking homeless or
just regular
families.
Homes.
Yeah. So it's, and part of that, you know, how much of that is due to that it's too hard to build? How much of that is due to that we live in a college environment where rents can go pretty high?
But you don't have too many rentals driven by Humboldt State in Fortuna.
No, you do. I mean, you do in Eureka and Arcata.
A little bit in Eureka, but not as much as I think you would expect, particularly because Humboldt's been expanding. You know, they got more kids, but they've also got more facilities on campus now, too.
Yeah. Well, and you'd think with Fortuna, there might be some maybe from CR, but I'm not as familiar with Fortuna's housing aspect, but they're growing. Seems like Fortuna's growing a lot in, you know, economics terms.
Yeah, Fortuna and McKinleyville are the ones that seem to be knocking it out of the park right now.
So we're just not getting the housing.
Yeah, exactly. So is the Builders Exchange talking or complaining? Is the pressures that the Planning Commission used to have about getting developments through, are they talking to you at all, or is nobody putting anything through in favor of some of the other options that they have to generate revenue?
You know, I think in McKinleyville, Furtado has been pretty successful getting some projects going. I think, you know, in Eureka, there's a few builders that might have, you know, a big year might be 6 housing units, which is not a lot. But I haven't heard that there's necessarily difficulties. I think, okay, how do I put this? I think what I'm hearing is it's hard to get things through planning because there's so much emphasis on other things such as cannabis. I mean, it takes up a lot of time and resources. But then people that are doing the bigger projects, most of them, if they're trying to be built for a specific population, like low income or veterans or seniors, there's a lot of loopholes to go through because a lot of the funding comes from the state, federal, and all these sources. Yeah, and so it's got to be challenging, and it's not every developer wants to go through the litany of hoops and crazy.
Do you have at the building department and the planning department the fees that these folks are doing for the potential planning of the marijuana, the registration of those properties, are they having to pay now, or is this, if 64 passes, is it tied to the medicinal or is it tied to the recreational?
At the moment, the medicinal, but we're planning that if it does pass, we have to be able to do that.
So the monies that people are paying now, that's just to register for medicinal grows.
That would be my understanding, because...
So there's not that much money. What I'm kind of sort of trying to get to is, if you've got this demand, why not hire a couple more people specifically to process only the marijuana stuff?
Well, we have.
And that's it. Well, do some more. If there's a backlog that's being caused by that, and the revenue is there to offset it.
But I don't know for certain. I think the reason we're hiring more people is to answer a lot of questions on the phone, and those phone calls don't necessarily result in the permits, so you can't charge for phone calls.
We'll figure that one out. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Virginia, the concept of housing homeless is tough. It's challenging because you got the emotional stuff. You got the political stuff. You got all the legal stuff, the environmental and the zoning and all that kind of thing. And you just get into the flat, basic question of, is that government's role? So as you're trying to figure things out and looking down the road and not trying to have a hard heart but not wanting to be played for being stupid either, how do you balance all this stuff out? And I guess my final thought is a lot of times electeds will make judgments based on poundage of community reply and response. Okay, so you get 15 phone calls about homeless, and boy, everybody's looking from one perspective or another. Which in reality, when you got 135,000 people, doesn't even register. Okay, but you get caught up into this whole routine of everything. So how do you know where to go, where to turn, what to do, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense?
Well, you're right. There's a lot of different directions and things coming in and going out. Lots to process. I think what we're doing right now in coordinating with the city of Eureka and having a plan helps keep things on track. This housing 30 people in 60 days, even though it may seem like a drop in the bucket, we can actually start seeing that there is some forward momentum. And what is government's role?
You mean less people on the streets that we see?
Well, less people, less people on the streets, but also you've got documented people, number of people in homes. You've got the support folks who are going in, helping people learn to be good tenants, because if you haven't lived in a house, you don't think about washing your clothes, taking the garbage out. And then some people, adjust very well and are getting jobs. And that's where I think you see progress. But those are the things that we should focus on. How much of that is the government and how much of that is community? I think there's an even split.
Family.
Personal
responsibility.
Yeah. But people learn.
Charities.
Some people.
Because we seem to have enough charities around here to take care of these things. But
isn't there there's a mix of helping someone learn to be a good tenant, but at some point the personal responsibility needs to kick in. And sometimes it doesn't. Some people can't. Some people, for whatever reasons, will need those supportive services to remain good tenants.
Well,
But
don't we have the
learn.
Public guardian?
Well, we have the public guardian.
We still do.
We still do. And there are a lot of folks, and there's that works well for some people who maybe would not catch on to the financial aspect of how you do this. But I think
definition be expanded?
I think public guardian is pretty well defined in law. I believe so.
The fiduciary responsibility is towards financials so that they don't have like the Jimmy Dunn experience from a couple decades ago are cashing and charging 20% to process.
Yeah, and there's a place for that, but I think it takes more than just government is what I'm trying to say. You can try to regulate things to death and it just does not work. We need support, whether it's, but we all have to be kind of moving in the same direction. And that's why it's important that the city and the county at least say, hey, this is the vision that we have. We know it's not the answer to everything, but that's where the community groups come in and they have a little bit different answer, but they can't expect government to pay for it.
Has there been any thoughts to expanding Semprevirens, even though it's only a couple of beds, but to expand the mental ward, so to speak, for the county, for those folks that are in need of that?
We're one of the few counties that actually, especially a county of our size, that has a facility like that. It's extremely expensive. There's not the room for expansion. And at the same time,
I thought elections was moving out.
Well, elections is moving out, but that's not, it's not attached to the same part of the building. Yeah, that'd be a whole different wing. How's that? I think what makes sense, though, since you've brought this up, is we do have to notice some of, what are we doing right now? And, to be honest, our jail is one of our biggest mental health facilities that we have. It's the same in all counties. And just segue into something I'd love to talk with you about next month. I have an opportunity to be actually out of 10 people doing a tour of you mess me up when I'm trying to talk.
Okay.
Anyway, there's a group going back to look at facilities in Texas and Florida where people who are in jail with mental illness, there's better ways to deal with the situation than we do in California.
Well, isn't
right
that
now.
The expansion? The
expansion will be doing, yes, that'll be helpful. But the Mental Health Services Act is really taking a look at the intersection of incarceration and mental illness. And because some people seriously should be in jail for things that they've done that are mentally ill, and they need to be treated in a different way than we're doing it. And then some people who we have in there really don't belong in a jail setting. And we've got to find a way to deal with that. Now, does that include expanding Semprevirens? I don't think so. But it's like, how do we do this? So you had to ask me a question I didn't have warning about, but
hey.
No, we're not expanding that I know of.
All right. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, some of the different challenges that are out there around homelessness, and we talked about the container camp and that moving. And is there real net progress that's going on, or for everyone that's finding a home somewhere or somebody's connected to the family, there's two more knocking on the door?
I think some of the challenges is, yeah, we're making progress, but you can't stop the incoming. And whether it's true that people are being sent here from other cities or states, I think to a degree it is, we do have new people showing up all the time. People that come here to trim that actually, you know, it doesn't work out for them for whatever reason. Yes, you get 20 people housed, and then all of a sudden there's 40 more that you're running into. But I do want to talk, Friday's pretty exciting. Betty Chin is opening her family center. And it's right next to our other facility, right by the police department there. And what's exciting about this is it's for more families. I can't remember how many rooms exactly, because there are a lot of homeless families. And this is important to get them to the next step, to get them ready to, you know, take responsibility for their lives and be able to move on from there. But it also is going to provide more respite beds. They have no place to recuperate on the street. You can only imagine if you had surgery where you had an amputation, that's a really tough situation to try to stay healthy in and recover. So by having these hospital beds in the facility, the cost to actually provide the care is much less than being in a hospital surrounding. And the fact that they can recover in a place where, you know, they're not out in the elements keeps people from going back in the hospital needing more expensive treatment.
At the hospital, the state covers it, right?
Well, no, actually, the county. I mean, there's a lot, but this costs the hospital less money too.
Right. No, I'm wondering. So, does the county benefit, or does the hospital that's owned from out of the area and the state government that's handled out of the area, are those the ones who benefit financially from this?
I think we all benefit financially. Now,
okay,
which
so it
one?
Does balance
yeah.
Out then. Okay.
I just think it's, you know, is part of it's a piece of the puzzle. In Santa Rosa, Catholic Charities operates the Nightingale, which is a similar facility, and I did a tour of that several years ago, and it just amazed me the people, the condition of folks that if they were kicked out of, not kicked, if they were released from the hospital because it was, you know,
their time.
It was becoming too expensive, yeah. They weren't getting the reimbursement rate, whatever, and they, if you had to recover, I mean, I know I'd rather stay in a warm place and take care of, you know, recover from my illness and not have to go back to the hospital. And it just makes financial sense. And from the community's perspective, I think it's better for us as well. Whether it's the big dollar savings, I don't know. But if it keeps people from having to go through that revolving door and becoming the $1 million Murray.
Yeah, yeah. Is there housing for the working poor?
We're short housing for every, I think pretty much just every category you might want to throw out
housing
today. Yeah. You know, it's, so no, we certainly need to work on housing for working family, whether it's working poor or just regular families. It's hard. It's kids getting out of school. They don't have a place to live.
What's going on with the situation out on Samoa Boulevard, or Samoa Boulevard, out on Samoa, is that project coming?
Danco's?
Yeah. Is that progressing?
Yeah, but still, it is. I mean, there's a phased project to it, and I believe they're still working. The first phase is supposed to be on the housing.
Cool. Okay. You can go home now.
Thanks.
Thanks.
No, actually, I can't go home.
Go to work?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. All right. See
you
all tomorrow.
I'll take the day off. You said I could.